All right, so when we get, so we'll go through that one section, and then I'll be like, all right, well, let's head over to page 14 and 15, because as a next step, I'd like for you to get with your men's roundtable leader and talk a lead and talk about some of these stages. So I'll just kind of kick off. How do we help others carry the weight of leading? These are four stages that have been helpful. I'll go through an overview of this page of 14. And then why don't I say, hey, on page 15, there's some big ideas. Turner, what do you think about stage one? What are some things that you can do in this stage? And maybe you just talk about some of these bullet points. What do you think? And then I'll say, what do you think about stage two? You do the same thing. What do you think about stage three? What do you think about stage four? And we'll just kind of land it that way. Is that cool? Okay.
Yeah. Great.
All right. Cool. All right. This is going to be good. All right. All right. Here we go. Hey, guys. We're listening to the Men's Roundtable Training Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Rivers, with Turner Vaughn. The goal of MRT training is to help men feel competent to facilitate MRT studies and create discipleship opportunities in the lives of the men they lead. If you've been following along, you know that my colleague Turner Vaughn and I, we've been reviewing sections of the MRT Facilitator Handbook and giving practical next steps for new MRT facilitators. Pull out your MRT Facilitator Handbook or check out the link in the show notes so you can follow along with us. Today, Turner and I are answering the question, how do we encourage ownership and replicate discipleship in group members? We're focusing on page 8 and pages 14 and 15 of the handbook. So let's jump in. Well, how's it going?
Doing good, Chris. How are you?
Yes, sir. Excited to be with you today. Knocking it out. Episode 4.
Episode 4.
We're getting somewhere.
4 out of 5. We're almost there.
We're almost there. Hey, for those of you that have been listening, Turner and I have been having a lot of fun, and hopefully you have been having fun with the individuals that you've been listening and working through this content with. I just want to follow up to and mention, hopefully you've been able to sign, print, and date, and even text the MRT facilitator job description to your MRT lead. Maybe you've been able to work through the MRT case study. I know that in episode 2, we challenged listeners to review the MRT kit and what's in it. So hopefully you've been able to do that. And then in our last episode, we encouraged you to check out Peter Hubbard's Asking Good Questions and work through the question killer continuum and figure out which one you most identify with, and then just create a next step that allows you to least identify with that question killer.
Definitely.
So I know that those have been good to do on my end, but I want to just touch base with us on that. So as we kind of think through where we've been, where we're going today, we're focusing on replicating discipleship in group members. So we're on page 8. Turner, kick us off. What are some big points that we need to be thinking about as we do this?
Yeah. So if you find yourself leading your group and you are doing everything,
true that.
Right. You're showing up early. You are making the coffee. You're making all the phone calls. You're texting. You're the only one that's initiating any and all contact between group members. Then that's a problem.
Yeah.
Right. We want to be able to encourage ownership across the group. Again, not because you can't handle all that.
That's
not
right.
Because you're not capable of doing that. But really, we're trying to give opportunities to these guys to just go beyond consuming the material and kind of talking through it each week. We want them to take ownership. And so you can see some ideas there, but I think the coffee piece is one, and that whatever that looks like, even if you're not meeting in the morning, maybe you encourage a guy to, like, he's in charge of bringing something to drink, something to eat each week, you know. Maybe you rotate that, you create a sign up. If you are in the morning, maybe they come early to the church wherever y'all are meeting, and they make some coffee. And you can also challenge someone to kind of own prayer requests and be intentional about how to communicate those each week, and even to help them follow up. Be like, hey, we emailed that last week. How's that going? You know, what's happened? And kind of create some crosstalk in the group. And then to get and seek feedback.
Yeah.
Right? 7 weeks, 6 weeks that we're working through a lot of these studies is not too much time to not seek feedback, right?
Yeah.
And make changes.
True.
Like if you need to make a change within the first couple of weeks, you know, getting feedback from your group members is going to help you know what to change.
That's right.
What different things to kind of improve or and work on. And so, but if you don't ask those questions, you're not really encouraging kind of this ownership mentality.
That's right.
And it maybe it's not even your idea or you really want to do any particular idea that a group member might have, but it might be good just to see how it goes.
That's right.
And just and kind of invite that ownership. And then communication is big, right? And that's where you want the crosstalk to happen. Like you want guys to reach out to one another kind of organically outside of the group. And this is something that our region ministry does really well, where you kind of pinpoint guys to kind of contact each other. And I remember when we were going through it, we would get a different guy's name each week. And be like, hey, call, text, something. Before we meet again, you're going to talk to them outside of this context. And you could do something like that. You could kind of create smaller groups, however many guys you have in your group, whatever feels natural, but just encouraging crosstalk and cross communication is going to make it feel that they're owning what's going on and less like you're the teacher and they're the students.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I think will be really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important just to double tap on like the prayer cards. We've talked about the prayer cards. That's one way that you can get guys to do life on life discipleship outside a group. But I do think that there is something really important to like, why do we want, here's the big question. Why do we want people to own some of the work? Well, because we want them to feel a little bit of the responsibility of not just leading, but being part of discipleship. And so it's easy when you're a participant to feel that you're a consumer in that moment. But while people are going through the study, we want to help move people away from consumerism and towards contributing. And so sometimes if you can find a way to get guys to own something that you're doing, that is going to be a way that you can begin to slowly, you know, grow that idea of ownership.
Well, and your men want to do that too.
Yes.
Whether they know it or not, or whether they're really kind of come forward with that, they want to be a part of something and they want to take some responsibility. And so you inviting that and not shutting all of it down is going to be really helpful.
Yeah.
And then even, so there's group dynamics that they can own, but then also helping them own their own spiritual growth.
Yeah.
And this is a huge piece, especially for kind of one of the main reasons we even do Men's Roundtable to begin with, is just to say, hey, there's work for us men to do when it comes to reading the scripture, seeing who God says we are and what that means for us and how we can grow and change and become more like Jesus in the process. And so in order for your guys to do that, they have to own that for them. And so that just checking a box, just sitting in a group is not going to produce life change, right? Mm-hmm. Considering how God is calling them to use the material to help them transform into the likeness of Jesus, those are the kind of questions we want to ask and help them realize, hey, you are capable of working through that. You just have to take responsibility for it. And even just maybe to get them to think about people like, hey, who are you going to be held accountable? What's the change that you want to make in particular? You know, it could be that you have a guy who needs to start engaging in the spiritual disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. He's going to read his Bible more. He's going to pray more. But how are you helping him take responsibility for that? Is there a guy that he's working with? Are you checking in on him and just kind of creating these steps to encourage ownership so that they realize, hey, I can't do this for you. I can't want you to become more like Jesus, and it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You have to take some responsibility there. And particularly, the way we see that flesh itself out is in the local church, right? And that's why Men's Roundtable is part of Grace Church. It's part of becoming a part of who we are and what we're doing. Not everybody in your group is going to be a member of Grace. Maybe they're going to be totally outside and attending another church, but chances are most of your guys in your group are going to be somewhere between visitor and covenant member. And we want to help them take those steps, at least to figure out, hey, is this the place that God's calling you to be? You need to take some steps in owning your own spiritual growth and development.
Yeah, that's good. I think just a couple other ideas that are real practical and even tactical are on the spreadsheet that maybe you've created with names. In episode two, sure, we talked about having like a Google sheet or whatnot. But just maybe even creating another tab on that sheet that are the weeks that you have that are of your study. And maybe every week you've identified one person that can help you do something. So if it's week one, I'm going to ask Turner to help me do the coffee. If it's week two, I'm going to ask, you know, Jonathan if he'd be willing to open us up in prayer. In week three, I'm going to ask Sam if he'd be willing to give us a 2-minute summary of what we are about to talk about before we get into it. You know, week four, you could, I mean, there's so many different things you could do, from prayer requests to telling stories. I mean, like, just getting a guy every week to help carry some of what we're trying to do in that group. And I think even another idea would be that when we're at week five, so like Authentic Manhood has 7 sessions. I think A Man and His Work is 7 sessions. I can't remember. Most of our studies are 6 or 7 sessions. So when you're at that 5th week, that is a good time to take a break and ask yourself, who have I invested in that could help own some of the work that we're trying to do? Like, if I got hit by a truck tomorrow, you know, who in 5 weeks now could I hand this off to, you know, and they could lead it, and I might need to still be there, but at least I've started some of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think too, the tendency can be that there might be some guys in your group that could lead week one you, right?
Totally.
Cuz they're just they want to go through the study and they're high capacity. So I would challenge you to pick out the guys who are not necessarily the home run leaders from week one.
That's right.
The guys that are not talking a bunch, they're not engaging, and see like what does it look like for you to invest in them over 5 weeks, as opposed to the community group leader that just happens to be in your group.
That's right.
Or, you know, a high capacity volunteer, whatever it is. Yeah. You know, help try to pull those other guys along and see, okay, so that week five, week six, you might be asking them, hey, and we're gonna talk about this on page 14, but like, hey, I want you to actually do this. I want you to help me facilitate these two questions
or
whatever section that and then you're giving them an opportunity to actually do it in real time with you there. We're going to mention that.
Yeah, I mean, let's go ahead and jump there. Page 14, you know, we have... These are not stages that we have created on our own. Somebody very smart probably created these, but we've kind of stole them. But we call these the 4 stages of replicating leaders. And they're just very practical and helpful. Stage 1 is I do, you watch. Stage 2 is I do, you help. Stage 3 is you do, I help. And stage 4 is you do, I celebrate. And so, you know, the idea is like, the question really is how do we help others carry the weight of leading and helping move this framework of authentic manhood into others' lives to do discipleship? How do we help create that in other people so that they can lead in that way with effectiveness? And so these stages have been really, really helpful. I'll give an overview of each, and then Turner, I want you to share some best practices. But in stage 1, I do, you watch, you're really just asking someone to help you lead in some way. You're simply asking them to join you and watch you do something. If it's prayer, or if it's, you know, if I called Sam, a guy in my group, next week and just said, hey man, I don't know if you've noticed a couple times, but you know, in the beginning of our time, I do pray. And I'd love it if maybe next week you could be part of that. You know, you've watched me. Have you seen me do that? That's really kind of that stage 1. People are already watching you. This is kind of a no-brainer, right? Yeah. You're realizing that you're always giving people a picture of what success looks like in that area. And what's important is that you go first. That's what's important. You show people what leading looks like in that area. Stage 2, I do, you help. After you show them, you give them a chance to help you lead a function of what that is. So, you know, I can kind of do stage 1 and stage 2 with this prayer idea with Sam. I'm using him as an example. But, hey, man, you see me pray a couple times. Would you be willing to help me by just maybe praying next week? And you've kind of seen me do it. So I've given him a picture of what it looks like. You feel like you can handle it? Yeah, sure. I think what's important about this stage is that they need people like Sam have a chance to carry some weight without feeling all of the responsibility. And I think that's helpful.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Stage three, you do I help. In this stage, you're really asking someone to commit to a date when they could lead the majority of that. Hey, Sam, that was great. You know, thank you for what you're doing. And thank you for praying this last week. Will you just do this the rest of our time? Will you just keep opening up some prayer? And I think in this stage, it's helpful to be okay with the fact that individuals may fail. They may not do the greatest job that you could do, you know, and it's okay. Let people make mistakes. That's why you're there, to help them carry that weight of responsibility. So what's important about this stage is that they are owning most of the responsibility and you're encouraging them to keep going. In stage four, you do I celebrate. In this stage, you're celebrating with them how they accomplished this idea of, I'm just using prayer as an example, but what's important about this stage is that you're constantly encouraging, you're challenging them to go do this idea with other people. That's the discipleship process of, you know, I'm investing in you, I'm helping you grow, and you're doing the same with others. And I think you're evaluating what you're doing, and you're also now going and doing these four stages with somebody else. So I know that we have talked about this amongst our staff as a church. Let's talk about page 15. Just what are some practical things that we can do in stage one, I do you help?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, stage one is almost like a posture
that
you have just towards whatever capacity this particularly, obviously, MRT facilitator, but who can I bring along?
Yeah.
On whatever I'm leading, whatever I'm responsible for, who can I help show what I'm doing? And having this kind of this posture of not, I'm the guy and I need to be doing all of this, but rather, yes, I am leading, but I want to encourage having other people help me.
That's
bringing
right.
other people along in the process. And so I think casting a vision for what leadership looks like, and you are doing that a lot of times with words, obviously, as you communicate that, but also in how you lead as well.
That's right. We would call that character and competency.
Right. Yeah. Totally. That you have not only the humility and character to lead,
but
then you're competent in what you're doing.
That's right.
And part of being competent in what you're doing is realizing that, hey, I need to bring other people.
That's right.
Along.
That's
right. This is not all about me and what I can contribute. Giving them resources, you know, a good example would be, I mean, we gave the prayer example, but if you ask somebody to lead a few questions, you know, you can send them part of the facilitator guide
That's
for that
right.
week. But hey, here's a resource, or here's the asking good questions thing that we mentioned from Peter Hubbard. Like, you can resource them.
Yeah.
And then stage two, you know, is to help them kind of see and be involved with a piece of what you're doing. Right. And so, like, for your example, the prayer, maybe you open the prayer, he closes the prayer. You know, that's a part of it.
That's right.
Maybe you're facilitating the whole thing and he helps. Like, hey, would you be the first guy to have a few thoughts?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to ask a question. Like, I want you to be prepared with some thoughts. So he's helping you facilitate by being involved.
That's right.
And really just you're taking the chance to ask them.
That's right.
To take on some more responsibility. Showing that, hey, I'm still doing this. You're helping. You're kind of bringing them along. And then stage three, this is something that you mentioned before, but I think a big piece, and you said remembering the 80% rule, and really what that means is you got to get out of your own way in the fact that, hey, by asking someone else to do it, it might not be done the exact way you want it to be done, or even maybe to the quality that you want it to be done, whatever it is. But there's more value in that guy taking on some responsibility than there is in you just doing a good job over and over again.
That's right. That's so true.
Because you're still just one guy doing a good job over and over again. But when you're given opportunity to replicate leadership, you're giving opportunity for him to grow and for him to develop. And maybe one day he will be as competent as you are.
That's right.
And so he can contribute in that way. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then stage four, and then what would you say in stage four?
Yeah, for stage four, I think celebrating well. And that's something that I think as a staff, we're not great at Grace, you know, but just taking a chance to be like, hey, great. Like, we went from you barely wanting to be able to pray in public, you know, and now you've led the prayer for the past 5 or 6 weeks.
That's right.
You know, that's going to have impact in other areas of his life. Like, he has confidence now to be able to pray in front of a group of guys. And so you can celebrate that fact. Like, hey, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, what you did was really helpful and really impactful. And you can even maybe point to some things that you saw him grow in. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, first week it was like this. Second or third week, you know, you really started to open up. And so just celebrating well.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you'll do on a cycle, because as you do that well, then he's going to feel empowered to then like, okay, who's the guy that he can go and walk through these four stages with?
Yeah. Well, these four stages have been so helpful for me, and not just Men's Roundtable, but just even being a dad. I mean,
no, totally.
I mean, yeah. I find that they have just like, okay, what stage are we in? And sometimes what you, if you're even a leader in other areas, I mean, sometimes what you could do is you could take all the men that you have and just figure out in some different areas of whatever you're doing. And I gave a bunch of examples earlier, but like, where are these people? What stage are they actually in? Because you might realize that if you're leading a team, or you know, you have 10 guys in the group, after your first session with them, you might realize, you know, like, this guy is clearly a leader. He clearly could lead and facilitate Men's Roundtable. Well, he might already be in the you do, I celebrate stage. You
sure.
know, so, yeah. so that you were saying earlier, like, don't always go after the people that can do it. Like,
right,
help
the easy,
guys
the easy ones. Yeah, yeah.
Like, invest your life into people where you can help meet their needs. And you said this earlier in the first episode, meet their needs, help them grow in their relationship with Christ. So how can you kind of work these stages within this discipleship process of getting involved in people's life, meeting their needs, and helping them grow in their relationship with Christ? I mean, what does that look like? How do you do that with those four stages? And I think that could help us be, it help do the commissioned work that God's called us to do.
Well, and I would, a piece of self-awareness in these four stages too can be like, hey, if your tendency is to just get all of it done yourself,
yeah,
then you're going to know this is going to be extra diligent work for you to actually hand off some things.
That's right.
And then if you're on the other end of the spectrum and you love to delegate all day long because you want to get stuff off of you, then you got to also realize, okay, am I actually helping them through a process, not just abdicating responsibility?
That's right.
And so there's going to be two ends of that spectrum, and just being aware of that will help you to facilitate this well. Really, the goal of a lot of this is to then get these guys to want to do this on their own, to become their own facilitators, and kind of that replication process.
That's
over
right.
time.
That's right. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Turner. This has been a good conversation. Appreciate you being here. As we wrap up today's conversation, I want to thank you for joining us. As a next step, we would encourage you to get with your MRT lead or coach and review the four stages with him. When you guys meet, we would encourage you to come up with one way you could implement each stage and then come up with a strategy for doing it. If you have any questions, you want to lead a Men's Roundtable study, you want to get more plugged into what God's calling us to do, email us at men@gracechurchsc.org. We'll get you connected. Next week, we're going to talk about troubleshooting, and we're going to land the plane on this training. So we'd love to have you join us next week. And thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, man. Glad to be here.
All right. Bam.
Over and out.
Over and out. That was good. Okay, stop.
That was good. That was some nice rain.